Hello. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. In keeping with our commitment to deliver urologists and allied health professionals expert clinical analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives, each episode of Speaking of Urology will bring listeners timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty to keep practitioners up to date while helping them practice more efficiently. I'm your host, Ben Saylor. For this episode, we bring you the third and final installment of Urology Times editorial consultant Dr. J. Brantley Thrasher's recent interview with Dr. Samuel J. Peretzman regarding high-intensity focused ultrasound. In this segment, Peretzman discusses robotic prostatectomy following HIFU and also explains how urologists can learn how to perform HIFU in their practice. Peretzman is with urology specialists of the Carolinas in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Thrasher is Executive Director of the American Board of Urology.
Talk to me about your experience with operations if you failed with HIFU. Have you had that? Have you done a robotic prostatectomy following a failed HIFU?
So strangely enough, because I've lived in the radical prostatectomy world for decades and entered the HIFU world early, I sort of became an incidental expert in this. So I published in Journal of Robotic Surgery our early experience with a robotic-assisted radical prostatectomy for persistence after Sonoblade 500. And my personal care series is now 27, which isn't a large number, but as far as I can tell in the world's literature, it remains the largest single surgeon series of robotic-assisted radical prostatectomy after Sonoblade 500. When you look at the series, even presented to AUA a couple of years ago, there were very large multi-institutional series from the United States and Europe. There were two abstracts, but these were in the hundreds of cases. But they were salvage series. The HIFU wasn't teased out from radiation. You know, I've spoke with Dr. Patel. I spoke to the people in Europe, Jay Smith. They don't know which device it was treated on. They don't know if it was subtotal or total. And they don't even tease out the results from their cryo salvages and the radiation salvages. So when we published the first article, which I was asked to write a couple of years ago, it was to specifically address what is robotic prostatectomy like following whole gland HIFU on a Sonoblade 500. And so that was published in 2017 in the Journal of Robotic Surgery. What we found is that it's very safe, it's effective, takes about 10, 15 minutes longer. Incontinence was paradoxically less than de novo patients. It's actually been zero in 27 patients. Excluding the patients treated in the last couple months, the longest anybody was in pads after the Foley was removed was 35 days. So paradoxically faster than the de novos. That remains unexplained, but it's the numbers. And to no great surprise, disease control is related to the time till the second diagnosis. If you seek failure early, follow their PSAs closely, evaluate them at the first blip, and you find small failures, needless to say, you're going to do well surgically. If you wait and it's 6-7 years later and you wait till the PSA approaches 10, you're going to find bigger disease, more positive margins, more extracapsular extension. Your disease control is obviously going to diminish. We even had our sentinel patient in 2007, who's now in his 70s, remains potent after two therapies, whole gland HIFU and my first salvage da Vinci after HIFU, and made it into his 70s before he even used Viagra.
Great. How difficult is it to learn? Talk to me about what courses you recommend. How folks that are out there listening to this now say, I'd like to get involved.
Yeah, the thing that is a unique advantage for HIFU is it's a completely cognitive procedure. So unlike learning robotics, where Intuitive might have given you a proctor three times, or cryo, you might have gotten a proctor a few times, or breaking the 90s, you can do as much on-screen practice and education as you want. Or you can go watch people. You can go watch three cases over their shoulder, and you're making all the same cognitive decisions they are. You don't need to have it in your hand. So you can learn online. There's online tutorials. There's online cases where you actually work through cases on a simulator, you can get so much more experience with this before you become the surgeon of record. Then in essence, you get as much as you want until you feel comfortable, which is, in my view, uniquely different than everything else I've gone through for learning curves in the last 38 years.
So are there courses put on by the companies, or is this something that you're proctored by a particular expert that's identified, yourself, for instance?
It would be both. In my experience as a proctor and as part of the educational programs, is only with Sonicare. So you can start with either manufacturer or a service provider, and they have online tutorials. So you can do basically learn the technology online. You can do cases online right on a laptop, because that's all you're using during the case. You can go to a center, and you know, I just had people from China, you know, they can come and watch a bunch of cases over your shoulder. And you can get as many proctors as you want when you're doing cases. You know, any local expert can come sit right next to you on the stool and help you get through the case.
What are most hospitals doing? You could probably give me some idea of what goes on from the credentialing standpoint. Are they requiring a certain number of proctored cases? Do you know much about that, Sandy?
In my part of the country, it's all done as an outpatient, so in surgery centers and offices. So, you know, I've had back 15 years involvement with the manufacturer and teaching manuals and courses. You need a service provider. Somebody needs to have the machine. So either your hospital purchased it or using one of the national mobile providers. And the national mobile providers, the largest one, has both remote and in-case proctoring. So you can do some of it online, and then you can come watch cases. You can get a proctor to sit next to you as many cases as you want. So I think the bottom line for people looking at it is you can get far more education and experience before you turn yourself loose than you ever could have gotten with any other form of prostate cancer therapy.
Anything else that you'd like for the listenership to hear about this? Any take-home messages from this?
Yeah, HIFU sort of has, because it's been around for so long, but only really in our backyard for 4 years, there's just a lot of odd historic buzz about HIFU. So I think my take-home message is, it's not a magic wand, it's an ablation, and it's heat. And, you know, enough heat is lethal to any living tissue. So you just need to understand how to create it, how to deliver it, how to monitor it, and then how to follow the patients. It's not magic, it's not difficult, it just takes discipline, you know, and time.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. And you can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.